read just a portion out of this little book, The Foundation, Living His Life. Just listen to these areas, and if you don't have one of these, you can find one of them, get one of them. Read these particular passages that I'm going to read here this morning. Every one of us has been taught to use every natural faculty that we have. When we come to Christ, it doesn't mean that we won't have these any longer, but we're controlled now by a higher principle, the principle of life. We are led by the Spirit. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. There are no in-betweens. It's hard for us to grasp, but we don't like that absoluteness of that. There's no in-betweens. There's no consideration of opinions, philosophies, or logic, but only being led by the Spirit, we are moved into a brand new creation. No longer is my will anything to be considered. Let me say it again. No longer is my will anything to be considered. Only faith. Faith doesn't do my will. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of my Father that sent me. Let us brush aside all of these things which have cluttered up our minds, the words, the jargon we use, and come back to simplicity. God speaks in simplicity, where we can understand what He said. Then we will move and mature in our spiritual senses. We will be exercised and begin to see together. We will start to hear God. Are we going to hear voices? You may say, that's just another indication of our tendency to cling to our own concepts rather than allowing God to break through to us in a way that destroys our dependence on ourselves. When we are moving in our own initiative and not hearing God, we become confused and fall back into our own efforts to work things out within ourselves rather than allowing the Spirit of God to work in His power in the inner man. It is His changing power that will lead us on and bring us light to our pathway. Salvation does not mean that now we will have some peace in our souls and continue to live the way we want to. Now, He Himself has become our peace. Unless He is your life, He is not going to be your peace. Let me repeat it. Unless He is your life, He is not going to be your peace. You will not have peace separate from Him or anything else either. These are dogmatic statements, but I ask you to consider them only as we consider in the light of the Word. Will the truth be able to set us free? Otherwise, you will continue to hang on to your old thinking. Hindrances in our lives are usually based on one thing. Listen to it. Our determination to serve God in our own way. I trust you will consider those. I want to look at these areas that we're talking about so that God can give us some understanding. Again, as we've already read there, I'm not interested in my opinion, your opinion. We're interested in what God's saying to us. If we can come to that, we can clear the ground this morning. If we can submit ourselves in some measure, one to another, and see the working out of this, we'll be able to be partakers of what God is saying to us. I'm going to be reading from the Phillips translation in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Live life, then, with a true sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but those who do. Make the best use of your time. despite all the evils of these days, don't be vague, but grasp firmly what you know to be the will of the Lord. Don't get your stimulus from wine, for there is always a danger of excessive drinking, but let the Spirit stimulate your souls. Sing among yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, your voices making music in your hearts for the ears of the Lord. Not to be heard of each other, but for the ears of the Lord. We sing for His glory. We sing that He may hear us. Thank God and the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this now. And fit in with each other because of your common reverence for Christ. To submit one to another is to fit in with each other. Let me go on and read further in this translation. You wives must learn to adapt yourself to your husbands. As you submit yourself to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. The willing subjection of the church to Christ should be reproduced in the submission of wives to their husbands in everything. Let me just go and repeat that again. The willing subjection. Willing. I'm not being forced. You're not being forced. Willing subjection. Fit in like you're supposed to fit in. As a body. Not just hanging in there, but fitting. The willing subjection of the church to Christ should be reproduced in the submission of the wife to her husband and everything. The husband must give his wife the same sort of love that Christ gave to the church when he sacrificed himself for her. Christ gave himself to make her holy, having cleansed her through the baptism of his word, to make her an altogether glorious church in his eyes. She is to be free from spot, wrinkles, and any other disfigurement, a church holy and perfect. So men ought to give their wives the love they naturally have for their own bodies. The love a man gives his wife is extended of the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. Glory. Nobody ever hates his own body. He feeds it, looks after it. Tells you exactly what we're talking about. Feeds it, nourishes it, looks after it. And that is what Christ does for his body, the church, and we are members of that body. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall go cleave to his wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. The marriage relationship is a great mystery, but I use it as a symbol of the marriage of Christ and his church. In practice, what I have said amounts to this. Let every one of you who is a husband love his wife as he loves himself, and let every wife respect her husband. Now reading from Hebrews. And beloved, this morning we must think. We must be open to the Spirit of God to break truths upon our hearts. We can't just read words. We've got to understand what God is saying to us. And I believe that these passages that I'm getting ready to read will give us great understanding if God breaks upon our heart, if we allow Him to. And let me say this to us. Faith always humbles itself before God. Let me say it again. Faith always submits to what God is saying. There are no failures in this area. Faith always humbles itself before the mighty hand of God. Faith always submits to what God is saying. Not sometimes, every time. Anytime that it's faith. Now let me begin to read from the 5th chapter of Hebrews. And we're going to have to listen closely. We're going to have to let the Spirit of God discern what is being said, because these are profound truths. We must become those that are mature if we're going to be partakers of the meat of the Word. And we'll read about that too as we go on over here further. Reading from verse 7, Christ in the day when he was a man on earth appealed to the one who could save him from death in desperate prayer and agony of tears. His prayers were heard because of his willingness to obey. But, son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. Let me read it again for you. But son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. Then he goes on. Then when he had been proved the perfect son, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who should obey him. Glory. Tremendous truths here. It opens up sometimes the doubts that we have about these passages. I mean, we can read it over here in the King James, if you'd like, for just a moment. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let me just read it here. But son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. Give you some more understanding. Now, we must have a basis of understanding to realize who we're talking about. We're talking about God in the flesh. I don't know what that means to you, but we're talking about a God that cannot fail. We're talking about a God that cannot sin. We're talking about a God that cannot be tempted with sin. And so there's an area here that we must understand what it really means for him to learn obedience. And that's what he's saying. But son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. Then he goes on to say, then when he had been proved what he'd gone through, it did nothing but prove who he was. Just like when you put gold in the fire, it doesn't do anything but prove what carat it is. And here it says, and when he had been proved, when he had gone through all of the sufferings, he had been proved the perfect son. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who should obey him. Not a small thing that we're talking about. Let me go on further to read in the 11th verse. The great deal that we should like to say about this high priesthood, but it's not easy to explain to you, since you seem to be slow to grasp spiritual truths. At a time when you should be teaching others, you need teachers yourself to repeat to you the ABCs of God's revelation to man. You have become people who need a milk diet and cannot face solid food. For anyone who continues to live on milk is unable to digest what is right. He simply has not grown up. Solid food is only for the adult. That is, for the man who has developed by experience his power to discriminate between what is good and what is evil. Going into chapter 6. Let us leave behind the elementary teachings about Christ, go forward to adult understanding. Let us not lay over and over again the foundation truths, repentance from deeds which led to death, believing in God, the teaching of baptism and the laying on of hands, belief in the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment. No, if God allows, let us go on. This is an insert or a title of the next passage, and it reveals something, at least from what the words are saying to us. And let me just read it to you. Going back to the foundation will not help those who have deliberately turned away from God. Now let's read verse 4. When you find men who have been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift and received the Holy Spirit, who have known the wholesome nourishment of the Word of God and touched the spiritual resources of eternal world, and who then fall away, it proves impossible to make them repent as they did at first. For they are re-crucifying the Son of God in their own souls and exposing Him to contempt, ground which absorbs the rain that often falls on it and produces plants which are useful to those who cultivate it, is ground which has the blessing of God. But ground which produces nothing but thorns and thistles, it has of no value and is bound sooner or later to be condemned. The only thing to do is to burn it. So you can see very clearly, I think, what it's actually saying, that if we have been enlightened, we have great responsibility. If we have tasted of the heavenly gift, if we have received the Holy Spirit, great responsibility in these areas that we're talking about. Now let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. These are scriptures that we have read in our a few times in our Sunday night coming together to pray and to encourage one another. But let me repeat it again this morning. Verse 5. You younger members must also accept the authority of the elders. Indeed, all of you should defer to one another and wear the overall of humility in serving each other. God is always against the proud, but He is always ready to give grace to the humble. So humble yourself under God's strong hand, and in His own good time He will lift you up. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. I think we can see certain things here as far as humility. I think we need to go on to see examples of this. I think even if you might turn with me, you can follow along what I'm going to share with you from Luke chapter 23. Here is an expression of humility and submission. Speaking about the two thieves or the two malefactors that hung on either side of Jesus when He was crucified. Let me just read what they said. Both of them, before they said these, they hung there, they all heard the prayers and the agonizing before the Father. Both of them heard this. They both saw His patience and His meekness. They both saw the wounds and the blood that flowed forth from them. And then we read here, one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on Him, saying, "If thou be Christ, Save thyself and us. Thinking about himself. He had not humbled himself. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Can you see the humility, the coming underneath, not reviling, not putting yourself above? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, you have to see what's behind. You have to see the whole attitude behind this, because this should be our attitude. Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. A real example of seeing God and humbling himself under that authority. Because when we talk about God, we're talking about the supreme authority. Sometimes we don't like to look at it that way, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about all authority was invested in him in heaven and in earth. It was God that hung there on the tree. He showed himself the same to both of these people. One did not see and thought only of himself. The other humbled himself, submitted to who he was. And Jesus said, Today you shall be with me in paradise. Now we need to learn from these. This is not just a story, but this is something that needs to prick our hearts, and we need to learn from it. We need to realize what we have received, and we need to move on to not allow our hearts to become calloused. Pride comes from a calloused heart. It is the contrite spirit that humbles himself before the mighty hand of God. What does it mean to humble ourselves? Because I know we all use the word, and we know the difference between pride and humility, at least in certain expressions, a haughtiness, self-asserting. Humility is humbling ourselves, just like Jesus humbled himself. Yet when the ones that heard him speak, they said, This man speaks as one that has authority, not like our religious leaders. Yet this was humility in its fullest expression. And when you understand the Godhead and the working out of it, you know there's a humility, there's a submitting one to another in the spiritual realm in something that we far cannot understand. They are one. And if we're going to be one, these two factors must be in our lives. They must be the expression of our lives. Not once in a while, but continually. There must be a spirit of humility. Our whole attitude in which we permeates from us must be humility. We're not exalting. We're not coming above others. We're not coming above the Lord in any way. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It will be the Lord himself that exalts us in due time. Hallelujah. What a time that will be when he calls us home. That will be the exaltation that we're talking about when he calls his people, when he calls the church. As I read these passages, beloved, I became aware afresh that we see so little of what the church really is. And so thus, we have not given ourselves to it. We have not submitted ourselves to the working of God because we do not see what it is. We do not see the importance of it. It's merely something that we say we belong to, because we've been born into it. We know some of the right answers, and this is not to belittle us, but to show us sometimes that words do not make the difference. It takes the Spirit of God, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of love to take and grip our hearts and say, here's what I'm doing. I became aware. And God will have to give us all understanding here, but I'm seeking Him for more understanding. I became aware that the will of God for each one of us is His body. It's not being worked out any other place except His body. And yet we give so little credence to that truth. We give so little preeminence to the reality of the body of Christ. If this is the will of God, and we're looking for the will of God, this is where we find it. And this is the will of God. The will of God that Christ came and died. What was it for? To bring forth many sons into glory. To bring forth a church without spot or without wrinkle. Through humility, humbling Himself, He became obedient unto death. This was God now. And of course, we are in Christ. We are here living the life that He gave us. We are a new creation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I can see that unless we come to this place, we're not going to know the oneness. We can know all of the theories about oneness. We can know the writings about oneness. We can read the 17th chapter of John, and we can see that. But alone, God, by His Spirit, is going to have to give us the revelation, the same as He moved on these thieves. One saw it different. The other one did what? He must have had a revelation. Did he not? He had a revelation of who hung there in the middle. There was submission. There was the humility there of not exalting. He wasn't arrogant. He was not self-asserting. He had humbled Himself. And Jesus said today, you will be with me in paradise. It is rich in all of its working out. Because I know we cannot see the possibilities of us becoming one. We know the certain things that happen. We talk about, as I've read there in Ephesians, we've talked about the oneness of man and wife, they becoming one flesh. We talk about the oneness that Jesus Christ prayed about when He said, Father, make them one as we are one. That will not become a reality in our lives unless we are submitted one to another. Unless we start to fit in, fitly joined together. Fitly joined together. Unless we start to honor one another, prefer one another in the love of God. Think higher of our brothers and sisters than we do of our own selves. A giving of ourselves. Until we come to this place, and I also read it here, until we come to this place that we are in God's new creation, and we're not just taking and looking for once in a while God to lead us, but the Holy Spirit is our life, leading us, directing us, and being what we cannot be. We will not come to this oneness. I can ask His questions like God asked me questions. Like I ask myself, why are we here? What kind of expression does the world see in us? Is it enough to stop them to where they will look? Is it enough of the presence and power of God to where they'll come and ask? Not one time, a continuing thing. Sometimes we can say, well, I can look back and this is what happened to me. But what about tomorrow, the next day, the following day? What is really happening? Do we stand out different from the world, or are we just like the world? We just named the name of Jesus. I say that only for our consideration, because the purpose is that God said that His children, He was going to make us one. That means, in my understanding of the Scriptures and what Jesus said about His oneness with the Father, that when the Father spoke, He spoke. He was not speaking unless the Father was speaking. He was not moving or working unless the Father was working. That's the oneness that God has called us to. So we must be selfless if that's going to happen. We can no longer consider our will in any way or any degree. We must consider one thing, the will of the Father. We must start to see what it really means as far as obedience is concerned. But we must understand that submission one to another, as I said the other night, does not mean that we're supposed to obey each other. We are connected to the head. We are to obey the Spirit. But we are submitted one to another. So you don't have to be afraid, well, no, somebody's going to tell me what to do and I've got to do it. No, no, God's going to tell you what to do and you have to do it, but you still have a choice. I have that choice. You have that choice. God doesn't come in and take your choice away. But He reveals His goodness. He reveals to you and me who He is. I have the choice to submit myself. Because He didn't say, I will submit you. I will humble you. He said, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. You submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. These are things that we, as members of the body of Christ, have the ability to do. Why? Because we are sons. Not because we're becoming sons, because we are sons. Because we have believed. Because we have come to this place. That doesn't mean we stopped. And we've got to continue to drink. We've got to continue to be partakers. Christ is our example. He gave Himself and He feeds us. I'm not looking for a man to feed me. I'm looking for God to feed me. This morning as I am giving this instruction, I am not looking for you to just take every word that I say. I'm looking as God has fed me, that He may feed you, stimulate your hearts to where you cry out, Lord, me, work it in me. I give myself, I submit myself, because you have the ability to submit yourself to one another. And this is some of the difficulties that we have. We're still self-assertive. God wants us to humble ourselves before His mighty hand. You have to humble yourself before you're going to submit yourself. I guarantee you that. And that's what God is saying. That's the order of God. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In your reverence for Christ. Because you are, not because you are becoming, because you are. I think sometimes we're looking to do these things, and yes, they're the right things to do, but I really don't need this to get to heaven. You don't? To be a part of the body, you don't need to do the will of God. Scriptures are too clear. It's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in, but those that do the will of my Father. Come on, it's so simple. Get down to where we're children. Simple in our understanding. This is not some complicated truth that you cannot see. God lays it before us so simple. I have to read that again over there that I read in Hebrews. In chapter 5 of Hebrews, let me read that again. Christ, in the days when he was a man on earth, appealed to the one who could save him from death in desperate prayer and agony of tears. Then he finished up with, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He's willing to drink the cup that God had prepared. Are we ready to drink the cup that God has prepared us for us? It's not the same cup that Jesus drank. But we cannot continue to go on in our lives without submitting one to another in the fear of God. We just come and we get a meeting mentality. Truths are thrown at us, but we have not entered in. We don't know. We don't have a willingness to obey. All we do is have our opinion, an excuse. Jesus didn't have an excuse. And that's what it says here. His prayers were heard because of his willingness to obey. I've come. A body has been prepared for me to do thy will, O God. But son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. Then when he had been proved the perfect son, through going through all of these things, it proved only who he was, right? And it's only going to prove who we are. What we do proves only who we are. The attitudes that we have, if we're submitted, only proves one thing. Not that we have grasped a new truth, but that we are truly members of the body of Christ. We are truly sons and daughters of God. That's what it proves. When we humble ourselves, what does it prove? It proves one thing, that we are a part of what God is doing. And we have seen it and we have humbled ourselves, because pride exalts itself. It partakes of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall be as God. We all have our own rights. Nobody's going to tell me what I need to do. That is the attitude of the one that is rebellious. One that, you know, is calloused in his heart. Indifferent. But he loves Jesus. We can say, "I love Jesus." We love Jesus by the fruits. We're seen by the fruits that come out of our lives. Is there a submission? Is there a humble spirit? Is there a willingness to obey? That doesn't mean obey man. I want all of us to understand that. It's not to obey a set of creeds that we come up with. It's obeying the Holy Spirit as He moves in our lives. Because I think we have a fear that somebody's going to tell us what to do, or somebody's going to steal our freedom. Beloved, every one of us lost our freedom when we came to Jesus Christ. No longer are we free to do our wills. We're here for Him. We're here to do His will. And our lives prove, our attitudes prove who we are. Our humility proves one thing. Not that we're looking to prove anything, it just proves who we are. Submission. You know, you can say, "Well, we're working at this." I'm not working at being one. I'm resting in Him. Do we have a willingness to obey? That means when God speaks, we respond. When the Father moves, we move. When the Holy Spirit moves, we move. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you say, "You're putting too much on us." No. Are you a child of God? If you aren't, you can be. You can have everything that God has for you. Humility stays before God until it receives. Faith does not know the impossible areas of man. Faith knows the possibilities that God has laid before us. Every time. So we need to submit to God and submit to one another. That is all accomplished by the means that God has laid before us, faith. The oneness can only be accomplished by God. He's building us together, a habitation for God by the Spirit. This cannot be done in your own strength. We're not coming together and agreeing on what we're going to do to be one. We're one because we have been partakers of His life. Now we mature in that because we start to take the Word. We start to obey. We're no longer children in need of the milk. And I hope that we understood what it was saying there in that particular passage. Babes do not understand the meat of the Word. They cannot understand. They're babes. They just need milk. They need nourishment. And if that's what we need, if we're only a babe, then this be nourished. But there comes a time that you need some solid food. I find out that, and you younger mothers here and older mothers, sure, I'm aware that this is a fact, that when you start to feed your children a little more solid food, it lasts a little bit longer, right? They're not as whiny and crying at nighttime as they do sometimes just with milk. In other words, they need something to fill that vacancy. How much more we in the Spirit need something that's going to feed us? We need to be partakers of the meat of the Word, to where we can be nourished by it. And this is the only thing that's going to bring this into reality in our lives. Solid food is only for the adults. It's not for the babes. We do not despise the babes. It's only saying you can't stay here in a baby state. You cannot just take and live an arm's length away from what God is doing. There must be a willingness to obey what God is saying. That's the only way we're going to enter in and know the strength of the Lord. That's the only way we're going to know the reality of all that He is. We just don't read stories about Him and what He did while He was on earth. We are here to experience all that He is now and what He's doing now. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. What does that mean? I'm not looking to do greater things than He did, but I am looking for a greater movement of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in a many-membered body. Because He was in a body, He was confined to a certain place. Now that the Holy Spirit has come to abide within the people around the world that are really submitted to Him, that have humbled itself under His mighty hand, then they're going to see the reality of this. You have to have a heart. You have to have a determination in your own minds this morning. You have to take and make that choice. Because if you don't, too many have fallen along the way. And you start to see, as I've already read here this morning, I'm not going to read it again, that if we have been partakers of certain things and we do not continue, there is no other place. There's not another sacrifice. There's not a place that we can find repentance. Why? Because we're thinking about ourselves. We have not submitted. We're not ready to obey God. We're afraid of each other. Afraid of losing our liberties. When I came to Jesus, I lost all my liberties. You did too, as you came to me. No longer did I have any liberties to do what I wanted to do. I had one thing. It was before me. It was before me daily as the Spirit of God led me. And as He leads you, are you willing to obey? It's not following or copying somebody else that we're talking about. It's not taking instruction and submitting to what somebody tells you to do. It's being led by the Spirit of the living God. But if we're children of God, we're going to resemble our Father. Glory. If we're true children of God, then we're going to measure up to what God says we are. We're not trying to get there. We are there because we have responded to Him, and we are continuing to respond to Him. We are living a life of faith. Remember what I said. Because if we don't, we sometimes miss these areas. Faith always, not sometimes, faith, because faith begins in Christ, it ends in Christ. If you have faith today, it's because you have submitted to God. Because faith always submits to God. If you're humble today, it's because faith has moved in your heart. Faith humbles itself to the will of God. It can't do anything but that if it's faith. Believe, yes. You can believe certain facts, and it'll not do what I'm saying. Faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith comes from God and returns to God. Faith is the word of God being spoken, and we partaking of it and digesting it, obeying it. Because you'll find that in faith, the last element of faith is obedience. You can hear what God's saying. You need to submit to what He's saying, but the last step is obedience to what He's saying. Try it. Look at it. Look at all of the men that you can read the 11th chapter. I mean, see what it did. See what faith did in these men. Faith hasn't changed, even though I think sometimes we look at it and we say, well, those are men of the Old Testament. Faith is still the same in the New Testament. Because faith is of God. Faith is Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of Christ. It does not change. So if we're going to have faith today, then we're going to move and submit ourselves to God. And we'll also submit ourselves to each other, because God has placed Himself by His Spirit in each one of us. So if we're going to submit to each other, we're doing nothing but submitting to God in each other. We're submitting to the Spirit of God and the will of God in each other. We're submitting because we are one in the body. Because that is a reality, not some theory that we're talking about. And then faith humbles itself always to the will of God. Faith never exalts itself. Never questions. Now you may come back and say, well, Jesus questioned, take this cup from me. But remember what He said following it. Not my will, but thy will be done. And He drank the cup. He learned obedience, even though He were a son. And beloved, your son, if you have believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and you have been partakers of His promise, you're a son. And we merely walk out the reality. But we grow, we mature, yes. But it's walked out. But we cannot hold back and not submit to what God is doing. And if we don't have understanding, let's go to God and get understanding. We can get each other's opinions all day. We can voice what we think it means. But God alone, when He speaks, is the only place that you can move in faith. We're not waiting for another time. This is the hour. This is the day. And God has exhorted us clearly that we assemble ourselves together as we see the day approaching. Have you read that, or has God really spoken that to your heart? Is that why we're here? To exhort one another? To encourage one another in this working of God? Where we will submit one to another? That we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we'll know what that means? Because I think too often that we speak about these things, and really, I don't know what it means. And I know what it says, I just don't know what it means. I don't know what it means in my particular situation, where I find myself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That is an attitude that you are to walk with. Submit yourselves one to another. In other words, fit in with others. Because you're a son, because you're part of the body. Fit in. We're not waiting for God to fit us in. He said, fit in. By the effectual working in every part, are we going to see growth? By the effectual working in every part, that Paul says over there in Ephesians, are we going to fit in? Are we going to be built together? Are we going to move together? Beloved, you're not going to be one by yourself. You're not going to be one with God by yourself. Why do you think God has a body? When he says he's coming for a church, he didn't say, I'm coming for a bunch of individuals that have been true to me. That is not what he says. I am coming for a church without spot or without wrinkle. I'm coming for a church that is prepared. I'm coming for a church that's one. Without blemish. Without spot. Without wrinkle. You say it's all going to be done in that twinkling of an eye. Is that it, what it says? This is the time of preparation. This is the time of God working in our lives, bringing us together. Because if we're sons, we're going to do these things. If we're not sons, then we're not going to do this. Or if we're rebellious sons, we'll just go along our way. But we're not going to grow. We're going to be those that are only on the milk. But he said, do you need teachers again to teach you again the first thing? Just forget these things. Just don't continue to go over repentance, repentance, faith in God. Just go on into maturity. Just go on and eat the meat of the Word. Let's go on to see what this really means. Let's prove it out. Let's get in there and by faith move. Don't be afraid of one another because we're connected to Him. We're obedient unto Christ. We are not those that are obedient to one another. Does everybody understand? Does it match up with what the Word of God says? Because there's other places that I'm aware that the Word of God says that we are to obey those that have the rule over us. But they have grace to watch out over and to care for. But you submit to that. You actually do it. If you don't want to obey, you don't obey. Paul says, you know, look at their lives. See where their faith is going. See what their faith is made of. Then we give ourselves. God's never called us to go into this blindly. But I believe that sometimes this fear creeps in. And we're so filled with trying to exist. And I don't say this critical. I say this for our instruction this morning. We're so filled up with ourselves and what we want that we don't have time to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We can't understand when Paul tells us that not only did he count it lost, he lost it so that he could gain Christ. We don't understand that because we've heard the blessing pact so long that we believe everything in God is a blessing, and yet we've read here this morning that it's through obedience in the things that he suffered. It was revealed. We're going to suffer for his sake if we're going to reign with him. And that means many things to each one of us in the walk that we have. He's always there. I hope this gives us just a little bit more area because as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, as God would permit us, as we see the time is right for us to come and remember the Lord, these must be real in our lives. If we have fear, if we're afraid of losing our liberty to do what we want to, then you need to come to Jesus and realize what that means. Because that's what I did. I lost my right to my will. I could go here this morning and take 10 or 15 minutes to tell you what I actually did over a period of time. But I'm not interested in just talking about myself. But I know that it's real. I know that he wants everything. And he will demand everything. And as you go along, you will give everything. Nothing else has any meaning. Let me just quickly repeat. Only for your consideration before God. Humility, humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God, in due time He will exalt us. He will lift us up. Submit yourselves one to another in the reverence of Christ. Submit yourself one to another in the reverence of Christ. You belong to the same body. Why can't we submit ourselves? Are we afraid of each other? The only way that you're going to receive from each other is if you're submitting and humble before God. You will not receive from each other. You'll be a law unto your own self until you come to the place that you can submit to one another and partake from each other in the right spirit. That's what the body of Christ is all about. The effectual working of God's grace in each member. Hallelujah. Let me say this. You're holding things back from me that I need. I need what you got. Come on. Because that's what it says. The effectual working in each part. Can't be nothing but His grace working in each part. Make increase of the whole. So we need what each one of us has. Hallelujah. We're members. We're attached to each other. Oh, you didn't know you was getting into that, right? We are attached by the life, by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. We are attached one to another. And if we do not allow God to break upon our hearts in these two areas that God is speaking to us about, we cannot enter on in, as I've already said, I've said it two or three times here this morning, we cannot enter on in to be brought to a oneness in God, because we will only be a law unto ourselves. We cannot give up our rights to ourselves. We'll continue to be self-exerting rather than selfless and giving. May God help us. May we move by the grace of God. May we obey these areas, because the choice is in your hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in your brothers and sisters' hands. The choice rests in each one of your hands to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and to submit yourself one to another. Glory. But oh, what doors of blessings it opens us to. I can say that over the years, I could be here for the rest of the afternoon just telling you the benefits that it opens up because we have submitted to one another. Plus, first, we have submitted to God. And if you haven't submitted to God, submission to one another doesn't mean anything. If you haven't humbled yourself before the mighty hand of God, you'll never submit to anything, much less to God. Pride is the opposite of humility. You know where pride moves? To exalt itself even above God. God help us. It's working.